I can give you her number. You can talk to her. Maybe she'll answer for you. All right. So we're starting the sugya on Daf Vav Mid Aleph. Bora Miskalgel Bein Ragli Adam Ragli Behema. So I think there are really two issues here. One of them is the sugya itself, and then the ramifications of the sugya for our broader discussion. I think it's kedai to spend some time on the sugya itself, because it's hard to nail down the different shittos in the Rishonim. So let me tell you my impression as to where the Rishonim stand on this, and then you could fact check me and tell me if that is consistent with your impression from the Rishonim, because some of the stuff here is just very, very difficult. So we know from the Gemara itself, we have a tzada shove of boar and shor. And that's supposed to trigger a chiyuv for a bor hamisgalgel. That we already saw in the previous discussion. The question is, what comes out of the Gemara's discussion, right? We know there's the factor of Rashi's girsa versus Tosa's girsa. It's not clear that the girsa itself is so important. So I'm going to put aside exactly what girsa you have for the time being, and just look at the emerging shittos from both views. So I think you have to break the sugya down into two questions, just in terms of getting the facts straight. First, who's liable after the bor comes to a rest? Lachar she'tanuach habor, after it becomes stationary, right? So it's kicked around a little bit and then it comes to a rest. Who's liable at the point that it's resting? The second part of our discussion will be who's liable while it's in motion? I think the first question is easier to solve. Who's liable when it comes to rest? The second question is more difficult. So let's start with the first. What's your impression? So who's liable after the boar comes to rest? Baal takala, right? You read the back and forth of the Gemara, it sounds pretty clear. Like the Gemara is trying to establish that the Baal HaTakala is liable after it comes to rest. I mean, that's pretty clear in Rashi. Because the Gemara says that it's not a classic case of bor, because in a simple case of bor, it's mais of garmulo, right? The act of the Baal HaTakala fully determines the hazard. Rashi says, in our case, about mais of shelzeh lo hiziku, el ragli adamu behema shel gilgiluhu. In our case, it's not fully the actions of the Baal HaTakala, but also the feet of other people involved. And the Gemara is trying to show that shor yochiyach, that nevertheless, the Baal HaTakala could be liable. I think that's pretty straightforward. I mean, obviously this is more of a chiddush lefi Tosos' reading of the Gemara, that even when it's ragle adam b'kavana, even when the kicker is a person who's acting with some level of intent, still once the bor comes to a rest, the liability shifts back to the Baal HaTakala. Does everybody see that? Remember, Tosos says if it's an Adam B'Kavana, then the Adam B'Kavana is fully liable B'Shas Gilgal. So there has to be some mechanism according to Tosos where we peel away the Maisa of the Adam B'Kavana, and when it comes to a rest, we fall back onto the liability of the Baal HaTakala.
Is anyone
who
gets otherwise?
What?
Does anybody suggest otherwise?
Then, okay, so does anybody suggest otherwise?
In some way, the fact that you kicked it now means
So I think there are two things that bear on this. The first is a miri. Although if you saw the miri here, there's like three dots. There are these ellipses throughout the miri, so it's not clear where the girsa is mishubash or not. I thought the reading of the miri implies that that once it comes to a rest, the sheni will be chayiv in certain cases. So just look at this line over here, the vikar advarim. Make sure you can see the whole. Yeah, okay, so. Sorry. Here's the whole mirror. I think this line, he says, either I learned Kedas Rishon, so it's not 100% clear what that's referring to. L'chayiv Hasheni Achar Shenacha. Behold, the second guy, the gal get liable after it comes to arrest. Qualification. Sounds like a Miri saying that if the first guy, the Baal HaTakala, is mafkir it, Then the second guy is liable, lachar shenafu. The only time the chiyuv reverts back to the baal hatakala is when he is not mafkir. Lo hafkir arishon, then lachayas arishon. I think it's a big chiddush of the Meiri to say that actually once the object comes to a rest, the sheni is chayuv. And it's only in a case of lo hifkira harishon that the rishon retains liability. You can read through the Meiri. I read this a few times trying to get my bearings. These words definitely mean that, right? And the distinction between hifkira and lo hifkira is plausible. So what do you make of the Meiri? It's not clear what you would do with this simple reading of the Gemara. Right, I thought the whole point of the Gemara seems to be we have a tzada, shave, bor, and shor. So what Meiri is going to say, that only applies to the case of lo hifkira harishon? Is that what he wants to say? Hifkir?
Or maybe you just read the tzada, shave differently than
l'chai v'sashini.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I thought. I thought the simple reading of the Meiri is that he reads the Gemara against Rashi. Rashi, we just saw, clearly holds that the tzara shaveh is to pin the chiyuv on the rishon. Maybe the Meiri has a reading of the Gemara where he thinks the tzara shaveh of shor and bor is to mechayev es hasheni. Typically, it's mice of garmelo. Typically, it's the acts of the baal hatakala that create the hazard. In this case, it's mamish not mice of garmelo because all he did was kick it. The sheni. So maybe the Meiri reads the whole Shaka Tire of the Gemara as referring as the basis L'chayiv as HaMigalkel, not the basis to L'chayiv Baal HaKal. Meiri, you look very...
No, but why would this be considered more? Shouldn't it be just like
because it came to a rest.
Right.
This is Lachar Shenafa. Right? So it sounds like he's saying that maybe the whole discussion of the Gemara is about the Chiyuv of the Sheni, not about the Rishon. I think that's very important. And obviously that's really important because it sounds like he's saying that the last actor can't really escape liability in such a case. Again, it's complicated because there's a distinction between hifkira and lo hifkira. But at least in the case of hifkira, the last actor is now considered to be the address for liability. Everyone with me? Anybody catch this mirror before or... Do we agree with the reading of the Meiri here? This is in fact what he's saying. Maybe we should turn off the heat, right? We all keep shining. Yeah. What do you want to say?
Yeah, so why should him being the object have here remove liability? I mean, from a meta perspective, like we're just creating a system where people are just going to. Like they're just gonna make their objects and property ownerless.
Or incentives,
so they don't bear liability.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna get to the Hefker Gemara soon and try to figure out what's happening there. So that's a general Hefker question. So that's we'll talk about that fully. All right. Anybody else want to raise any issues with the Meiri? Because I want to point out a sheet that I think is similar to the Meiri, just not as strong. So Toras Chaim. First time is one of the early Polish Achronim. He has a very interesting observation here. He says that in a case where the second actor actually picks up the boar and puts it down elsewhere in the Rishus HaRabim, so he says, Davka misgalga barag liadam, aval nakla adam biyado bikavana, vihinicha lemakom acher, vihizika sham, Sheni Chayev Rishon Pater. So if I put my bag down on one side of the road, say in the northbound traffic, and the second actor comes and picks it up and puts it down in the southbound traffic, and then a car is Nitkalba, so the Sheni is Chayev. Why? Vishem Aloha Yaholi Kashor, Bukhakam Shahi Sabor Mithilo. Because maybe there wouldn't have been any upbound, northbound traffic to be Machayev the Rishon. And he quotes the Gemara later on in the Masechta, I think, of the Nice Raya. He says if there was a boar that was existing, And then a second person comes and extends the perimeter of the bore. And a shore falls into the outer perimeter, or at least in the area, the Mokom Sheher Chiva, then the Sheni is liable. And why? Rashi there says, the Shem Elohi Holech HaShor Ad Mokom Pi HaBor Sheh B'Tevilah. Because we have no way of knowing that the ox would have fallen in if not for the extension of the second anchor. So same thing over here. I put my bag down in Rosh HaSarabim. Somebody else comes and moves it. You can't hold the first guy liable because you don't know that somebody would have fallen or stumbled over it in the area where he left it. Okay? So Torah Skaim says, oh, same who had been in our case. So the only time the liability sticks with the Rishon in general is when there's Mizgalga Baraglia, though. But if somebody actually picked it up and moved it, then of course the Sheni would be Chayav. Now I think this is pretty intuitive, right? The idea of the Torah Skaim. There's room to disagree. So where do you disagree? I mean, you could disagree and say, no, once the first person opened himself up to liability, he put something down in Rosh HaSarabim, it's Tchilas Asiyasa L'Nezek. So any Nezek that results from that is sufficient to hold him liable. Right? This kind of argument about where in Rosh HaSarabim is not really so relevant. So it turns on this question, whether you think the liability really exists when Mishas Tchilas Asiyasa. In which case, you might say the moment the Rishon puts it down, there's a basis to hold him liable, no matter what happens afterwards. Torah Skaim, though, disagrees. He thinks that insofar as there's a closer connection between the Sheni and the damage that actually occurred, it makes sense to hold the Sheni liable. Now, once you agree to the Torah Skaim, it's not such a far extension to make the move to the Niri. Right? Once you acknowledge that a human actor with intent could absorb the first person's liability and become liable la'achar shenafa, then you might say even a human actor shelo b'kavana, it's mizgalgal b'raglav, especially if you hold that a person is asui l'hisponi b'drachim, people are expected to look where they're going when they walk, and then you kick around the bag that was there. It's not such a far extension from the Torah Skaim to say, make the Meiri's point that the sheni should be chayiv even in a case of gilgul. Even in a case where it's Miscalda and Baraglo. Isaac, and then.
Are you saying that what that intention here is whether the liability sets in to create the hazard?
Yeah, I think that's one way of explaining the tension here.
Right. I mean, didn't
so the idea
ask,
is that. What?
Didn't you ask last time, like how much do we say that Nezek is like permeated throughout time?
Yeah.
Or how much, and how much does it survive? How much does it survive other people's acting?
Yes.
I was like, isn't that simple? What I'm saying here that you could just disagree with Torah Skaim and think that the original guy's actions survive the interruption of different actors?
Yeah, but I think you have to say that his first actions were harmful, like were harmful actions.
Well,
right, because the Torah Skaim seems to be denying that. He's saying maybe if I put something on a northbound traffic, it's not considered; it wouldn't have harmed anybody at all. Right?
Yeah.
So you have to say there's something, you have to say there's some nezek involved in putting the boar down in Rosh HaSarabim.
I would agree with you that is that if someone were to just come and have been like Nizak how you did that boar where he put it didn't buy it, but you did set up the conditions there, meaning it was destructive in that sense, everyone agrees with that.
Yeah. But I think the rationale here is the Shem Elohai Holy Hashar Makam Shai Sabar Metchila. So this argument seems to be an argument that maybe there would not have been Nezek from the first bore. Right? So the formulation of his argument doesn't seem to lie in extending the first person's Maisa. It seems to lie in whether you think there was a Maisa Nezek just in placing the bore versus the router.
I think that's really difficult to say.
Okay, why?
Maybe would have been damaged, maybe he would have been damaged, but if he was damaged, the guy's responsible because he did something that is destructive.
The Rishon?
Yeah. Meaning if nothing moved it, and everyone agrees that even though the same svara still applies, if Shem Elo Yavo Shor Yazik or whatever, he's still chai if the shore does come.
Right.
He doesn't mean that's potentially damaged. I mean, that's the basis of a liability.
So I think the answer to that is that you hold you're only liable for potentially damaging if it actually damages. But in a case where somebody else moves it, So your MISO didn't actually damage anybody. Your board didn't actually damage anyone.
Yeah, but when you what you did was the same thing either way. You set up something that was potentially damaging.
Right. And so you're only liable if it actually damages.
Great. But I'm saying it doesn't seem like what's the point of this agreement here is whether you did something that was potentially destructive or not. It seems like what the point of contention is whether you think that your act of doing something potentially damaging is still relevant after someone else acts on that act. Someone else interrupted that.
So I think that, let me think about that more. I thought that maybe your action is still relevant later, but your action is not a mice of Nezek, because it didn't cause anybody harm. So the way I prefer to think about it is, it's almost like a Poshek Kimazik disagreement. The Tosos would say, or the standard view would say, that once you dig a bor b'shisarav in your Poshaya, and that's already a kind of Nezek, and if someone's harmed based off your Pshia, so then you can be held liable. And the Torah Chaim is saying, no, there's no Pshia involved here, because maybe you calculated to dig your bor in a way where nobody would be hurt. That's the way I understood his argument. And you're saying, no, maybe both of them, maybe everybody agrees that there's a kind of Pshia here. And the only question is whether a Maisa of the Sheni supplants the Pshia of the Rishon.
Yeah.
That's how you're looking at it. Okay, I have to think about that. What do the rest of you think? Or Ben?
Just tell me if I'm wrong in understanding what you guys are talking about, but is it that we're trying to see how we perhaps define what it means to be potentially damaging? Meaning potentially damaging, you do something potentially damaging, and therefore you're now open to anything that has changed sort of in that context. But once you've done something potentially damaging, you've triggered the possibility.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying about the poshe, right.
Isn't it, you seem to be, in my opinion, using the more narrow way of you do, or at least the way you explain the Torah kind of being more narrow, that you do something that's Pshia, but within that specific context. And once things change from there, that Pshia doesn't really apply anymore.
Yeah. Isaac, what do you say to that?
Is that a question on
it? No.
He's trying to conceptualize the... So the way I'm thinking about it is that the Torah Chaim is saying that there's an argument to be made that first actor wasn't really Poshea.
Because the context changed. And
yeah, because the context.
Right.
No, you have to say more than that. Say that it was never Poshea.
Right, there's an argument to be made that he wasn't really Poshea. Right.
Was Poshea the first force who kicked it?
No. It's not. That's what he's saying. He's saying that probably the first time when someone thinks of Barber's driving, it's not Poshea yet.
Until someone, it's like a retroactive.
Yeah.
Once someone is damaged in the context in which you originally placed it, then the Pshia.
Right. Comes. It's like a Poshea Lav Kemazik, meaning maybe you did something wrong, but liability really. Pshia itself requires that it be reified by some actual damage. And so long as. So think about it this way, every boar is a potential Poshea, but it's not even an actual Poshea until there's some reification of the Pshia.
So you have to redefine how you've been conceptualizing for this whole time.
Yeah, so it's not, I think it's right. I think more consistent. I think my analysis is, my view of Poshea Kamazik would not agree to the Torah Chaim's Chiddush here. I would think that the moment the first guy, on a strong Poshea Kamazik Svara, you'd say the first guy who dug the boar is Poshea. That opens him up to any liability. The Poshea is Kamazik, and so long as somebody's harmed, that's sufficient to hold him liable. Isaac wants to say, no, everybody agrees to the Poshea Kamazik idea. The issue with Torah Chaim is this quibble about whether, even though the first guy's Poshea, is the second actor's liability supplant the first actor.
Well, I think the main difference between our approaches is whether you describe the word quibble to it.
No, I'm not saying it. I don't mean quibble to delegitimize it. I just mean to limit the scope of the disagreement.
What's the motivation for your...
I think the problem, I'll say my objection, my conceptual issue with Isaac's analysis is that on the assumption that there is a Poshea Kemazik, right, meaning that exposing people to the risk is the basis for liability, it seems strange to me that a second actor could exempt you from that liability.
Well, I mean, if you're acting from that liability while acting, that's also the point. Once he's acting, the kavana, we can't consider that you're in the zikin. The guy's in the zikin. He's doing this. So like, it's not like such a far stretch to say that like not only is it Jin Zikin, but if he also like terminates your relevance to the system.
But that's a case of Bahadi Dika Azli.
Right.
So
it doesn't seem like such a far stretch to say from Bahadi Qazli to Fasad Anika. Bahadi Qazli, like the clear assumption is that like other the Khavana is like this is his Nizikin. He did this.
Ah,
and
so hold
once,
up.
Once it's Fasad Anika, like why would you attribute it back to the original guy?
Okay, so your response to me is, well, clearly I have to concede that Boshia Kimazics could be supplanted by a second actor because in the Gilgal case.
Right.
My response to that is that arguably the Chiddush of Tosos is a Chiddush about Adam Hamazik, and that's just like a different kind of liability, and that's why it like just, you know, there's no consideration for a Poshia when there's an Adam Hamazik actor involved. Whereas this case is two Poshia Kimazics. They're just one person lays down a boar and somebody else lays down a boar. Alright, so I'm saying if there's a chiyuv for boar under Poshia Kimazik, the first guy should be held equally liable. Whereas in your case, so the first guy dug a boar and then there's a second actor, and an actor of Adam Hamazik always is like our first point of liability over like a lesser form of liability of Poshia. Mm-hmm. That's how I would respond to that point. Okay, that's a very good it's a good back and forth though to think about. Yoni.
Wait, I don't get why can't you say the second guy's planting the first guy? We have boar is like a typical case where in fact you have multiple people often, and the second guy comes by, so plants responsible for the first guy.
Yeah, so you're trying to defend Isaac's view?
Yeah, I'm saying.
I think the answer is that it makes sense to me that in weighing liability of an Adam Hamazik versus Shia Mazik, there's a reason why we should hold Adam Hamazik as fully liable. Because he's just like the he's like a qualitatively different.
No,
kind
I think
of
the Adam Mazik. I'm not talking about that part. Forget the Adam Mazik. Not Ivy's objection per se, but the larger argument. You're saying that in any case you're hiding in four, if Boshia Kimazik starts when the guy built the four, then that should still stay there even when the second guy does his action.
Right, but I'm saying that so when it's another Hamazik, so we're not holding you liable but Torah's Bor anymore.
Yeah, okay, I got that. No, but I'm saying so then, but either way, his action, though, should still supplant the first guy such that even when he then leaves, it should still not be defined as his bore, such that the first guy is no longer responsible.
No, right, so I think that's more difficult to say. I think it's then, because then you're just weighing one Pashia against another Pashia, and it seems like an open question that.
No, but one guy took ownership of the bore. He changed the status of the bore. The bore now became his bore.
Okay, so that's what the Torah's time is trying to get at, right?
Yeah, so I'm saying that's the whole point. He's supplanting the guy.
Not sure. I think the way I understand just the language of his argument is that it rests on just the Shemel Hashar, meaning like there's this argument that can be made to the effect that the first guy wasn't even Poshea. That's why I see him throwing in this extra.
Mm-hmm. What's the case he's talking about?
Later on, Eric Sharshanaga. It's a case where one person digs a bore, let's say it has like a 5 meter diameter, and then you extend on one side a little farther out. On one side, so you extend like the radius isn't even all the way around. So if the shore fell in that area where you extended it, so we say that the Shani is liable.
Completely liable?
Yeah. And Rashi here says the Shem will hold like a shore on the abort. Maybe the shore would have stopped at that diameter. It wouldn't have gone further.
I mean, it does sound more like it's just like a reason like that the Mazi can claim why it's not actually.
As a time. Not like the actual rationale or something. Right. Okay, so we could consider that also. Good. Is everybody with me? Yeah, everybody sees the main issue here? Okay, I just want to point out also that the Torah's Chaim ultimately favors Rashi's Girsa, that we don't have the Bahadi Dika Azli. Because he thinks that the Bahadi Dika Azli Kochohu, but Halab the Kocho Talia Nosa. He thinks that really what determines liability shouldn't be Kocho. It's really like this, even not Labia Daim Venichal Makam Afer, is what triggers the Chiyuv. So he thinks that, like, he thinks this Svara that he just gave, that if the second actor picks it up, the second actor will be liable, is a reason to accept Rashi's Girsa, because, right, otherwise the alternative Girsa is say, Ibahadi de Gazli, or Kokohu, right, if it's while you kicked it, then it's the Koach of the Shani, But he thinks that, no, the chiyuv of the sheni doesn't really rest on an argument of koach. It really just rests on this idea that the second person acted. Right? So he thinks that's a reason to reject Tosus's acceptance of the girsa. Okay. That's what I wanted to say for the first part. That's all with respect to the two views, La'achar Shenach. I think the simple reading of the Gemara is that the first person will be fully chayiv. We have the Meiri who thinks that in a case where the first person was mafkir, the second person is chayiv. And then we have the Torah Chaim who says if the second person meddles with the placement of the first person, then the second person will be held chayiv. I think that exhausts the shitos of La'achar Shenach, in my impression. I haven't found any shitos, correct me if I'm wrong, that suggest that either no one's chayiv in such a case. I think that would be just inconsistent with the Gemara, because the Gemara's whole point is trying to say is it's tzada shava of bor and shor la'achar shenach. And I haven't seen anybody who says that both parties are chayiv la'achar shenach. So if you see anybody who says that, would be big chiddush. I think the second possibility that both people should be chayiv is not ruled out explicitly in the Gemara, that both parties should be liable la'achar shenach. But I haven't seen anybody make that case. Okay. Might want to weigh in here, or no? Okay. John, you want to say something?
No. Yeah, I don't understand the Torah Chaim. It doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense?
No.
Why?
I find it very difficult that he just exonerates the first actor completely. Like, I just don't really understand.
When the second person meddled.
Yeah, like, he's totally removing that. Like, it just seems like he's going far enough to say that basically the second actor is just making a void in the first place. Like, he basically eliminates the Rishon entirely.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that case is any different than just someone putting down a board.
Anybody want to respond to Noah or Isaac? You want to respond to Noah's point?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's so unintuitive that the first guy's actions are like terminated by someone else. Then I gotta be crazy, like otherwise, like I don't know, like anyone does anything, you can always like at some point down the chain of events like pin it back to them. So like, the point is that like he did something,
yeah,
and like someone else totally changed the conditions, did something totally different.
Who placed this boar? The answer is the Shaney did. So the first guy put it down on the Cross Bronx. Second guy picked it up and put it down on the Henry Hudson. Right? So like, what does the Hanukkah of the Rishon have to do with the Mice of the Shaney? Think about it, right? I put a board down on the Cross Bronx. Somebody drags it in the bottom of it. Somebody picks it off the road, puts it in their car, and drives it to the Henry Hudson and puts it down. There's no reason to hold the first guy liable. No?
We've been defining Bor as creating an immediate hazard. So it seems like the fact that we're doing that, the fact that someone's creating a hazard, it doesn't matter that there hasn't been any hazard.
Okay, that's a chiddush in Poshea Kamazik. Right?
I guess so.
You might say nostalgia of the first guy's pshio was nostalgic of Lagami.
No, I was arguing with him.
Someone picked it up from put it on Cross Bronx. Some really good Samaritan picked it up, threw it in like a trash can. Like they are moving the bar from which driving. Someone else took that and put it on back in a different area of the driver. So then I'm holding responsible.
Right.
Like it was removed from the status of the board. Like literally taken out of the driving.
Right. The Meiri is a bigger chiddush because the Meiri is saying, in a case I put it down on the Cross Bronx, it gets stuck under somebody else's car and they drive to the Henry Hudson. And it gets dislodged from their car and stays in the Hudson. So he's saying they're the shaniest chayiv. That's the chiddush of the Meiri. Right, that's a chiddush, I think. But the first time, I think, is more straightforward, right? That's the difference between the first time and the Meiri.
Well, the Meiri time in the case of the person, not necessarily a car. Right,
how about a car? Specifically,
like,
cars are people?
No, I'm thinking too much, you're aware of it happening. Like, I'm just saying that. You gotta
ask the piston of motion.
Okay, that's it for the first five. Now we move to the second half. So, who's liable b'shatz Gilgal? who's liable while the boar is in action? So here we're going to break this into four sections. So there are four main shitos. Some people are going to hold that the Baal HaTakala should be chayiv. Some people are going to hold that both of them should be pater. Some people will hold that the Megalgal should be chayiv. And some people hold that both of them should split liability.
Why did you present the four options in that manner?
Well?
Why did you present the four options in that manner with the Torah being right in the middle?
Oh, because we're moving from... Yeah, that's an interesting question. Hopefully it'll become apparent later.
All right.
Yeah. We like to ask these, like, methodological
questions. I just have such faith in you as a Buddha that I'm always curious how you were
going to Yeah, I can tell from your question you have a lot of faith.
I wanted to ask you, I didn't think there was an answer.
Right. So let's start with being Machai of the Baal HaTakala in entirety. So, Tosos Bidas Rashi. Right, so Rashi said that we should get rid of that Girsa. So why should we get rid of the Girsa of Kocho if it hits Bishas Gilgal, if it damages Bishas Gilgal? So Tosa says that according to Rashi, we should be mechayev the Baal HaTakala entirely. Why? Mitam Ish. So when I put the boar down and Isaac kicks it, I should be liable, the Baal HaTakala should be liable as a form of Ish. Because it's just a classic case of Koach Acher Merurabo. Here's Tosis' formulations, you can see. So first he says that you can't hold the kicker liable, so you can't hold the Megalgal, because Ein Darpin Shel Ben Adam was born in Bedrafim. Can't expect them to be on the lookout. But Baal HaTakala Nami Ein Lechaibo, Mitam Adam HaMazik, so we'll talk about that. But rather, Mishum Dechashiv Keruach Mitzuya V'Hava Esho. So it's considered the Eish of the Baal HaTakala that's propelled by the Ruach. The Ruach here is just the Raglayim of the second actor, the Behemar, the Adam.
It's a Girsa issue. Rashi needs to get rid of that Girsa.
Yeah. So the Girsa says, Iba Hadi De Vazli, Kamazki, Koko.
Yeah.
So if it harms while it's in motion, then it's Koko.
So what's the problem with the Girsa? Is the Koko part of that?
So there are two problems. The first is that it's false. If you're looking at it from the perspective of the Megalgel, it's false.
Okay.
Because that's Kocho is not a reason to hold him liable because it contradicts Chassayin, the main darkness of the Adam was wanting to drop him. And if this is somehow supposed to refer to the Baal HaTakala, it's false because the principle is not Kocho, it's Esho. If you look at the Shita Mekubetzes here, the Shita Mekubetzes has the point, well, Tosa shouldn't have been moving the Girsa, Tosa should have just been attacking the Girsa. Right. That's like a discussion in the Shita Mekubetzes and that point. But the point that Tosa is making is that this is, from the perspective of Baal HaTakala, the reason to hold them liable is Esho. Okay, now notice that there's a huge Chiddush embedded in Tosa's here. This is important for our broader Sugya, which is that we can consider the Ravle Adam and Ravle Behema as a Ruach Mitzuya that are just carrying the Eish of the Baal HaTakala. Okay. A lot of Achronim are going to suggest, and I'll just find them out right now, that for Rashi, one of two things. So why does Rashi disagree with Tosfos on this? Right? Tosfos is saying this for Rashi. A lot of Achronim suggest that Rashi doesn't buy into this for a few reasons. So the Maran Liglin here commenting, Tosfos says, this is Tosfos Lishitaso, because they think that this could constitute an Eish B'Ruach Mitzuya. Hala Rashi Spirulein, that feels Eish Elohavi, Lo Chashiv Leke Ruach Mitzuya. Rashi would think that human legs can constitute a Ruach Mitzuya. Ruach Mitzuya has to actually be the wind. Okay, so I think what he's saying here, one plausible reading of this is to say that Maran Lublin thinks that Ragle Ben Adam are made of Ruach Sheina Mitzuya.
They're not a Ruach.
What? Or they're not Ruachs. So you might say that maybe a Ruach, we'll see, well, Nachas David, I guess. I'm not sure if that's what you're pointing out. Yeah. Nachas David has a different variation on Rashi here, and he suggests that the reason why you're liable for Eish al Yidei Ruach Metsuya is because the Ruach simply carries the Eish. So the Madlik creates the fire, and then the vehicle that moves the fire is the Ruach. But in the case of Gilgul, Biragli B'nei Adam, so the human actors are actually part of the cause. They're part of the tortfeasing itself. They're not just vehicles to carry it. So if it's Behade de Ka'azli, right, so if I see a rock on the road and I kick it, and then it hurts somebody in flight, so my foot is not just the vehicle that moved the rock towards the victim, but it's the force of my kicking actually contributed to the injury itself. So there's a whole Torah in Eish, and that's what Nachas David is tapping into, that thinks that Ruach HaKoach HaKan Rurbo for Eish really just means that the Eish is the vehicle. That's the standard for Ruach Metsuya.
I didn't mean that.
Well, that's not what you had in mind. But you can see here, generally, it's the Pula Saruach in a Ruach Lekare Va Eish Al Dabar HaMisa. Iker HaHezek Osa HaEish Asna. And he talks about this case of Tsuros, which is supposed to be analogous, where it's like the force of the kicking contributes to the actual Nezek. Right? Nimzaki Igara Hezek Nasai de Koach Hahataza Bat Tsuror, and Araki Garzan Viada Fosa. Well, Hain Lesbe Mishim Chi Avesha Klaal. And again, Kim that Tsuror lo Hezek Klaal, Rakoach Hahatiza, Busha Hezek, Hatabala Tsuror. So this is analogous cases where he wants to argue that a Ruach Metsuya of Eish is just supposed to be a vehicle, whereas in these other kinds of cases, the agent that's carrying the fire is a more active participant in creating the Nezek, not just transferring the Nezek.
Just going back to the basis we laid in the last minute, we're like taking it for granted that when an Akron says it's not a Ruach Metsuya, that they're evaluating it on like social terms, or Ruach Metsuya is some sort of like contributive factor, and we can then abstract what other contributing factors. But it is also possible you just have like a strong there's a custom type of reason. Like it's not a Ruach, it's not a Ruach. Like when it comes to the Sugya, we're trying to test case. Like this is also a test case of Machaya, then how Machaya interact. We also just keep in mind there's different models of Machaya.
Yeah.
And if you have a more literal Machaya in terms of
100%. Also, yeah, I think the Nachas David is consistent with that, though. I think the Nachas David's point is that, well, it's just the Ruach, because the Ruach is like the only, it's the only agent that's a mere transfer, it's a mere vehicle, not a contributor to that.
Yeah, for sure. I also disagree. I'm just pointing out, like when Maharaj Mabuddin says, it's not a Ruach Metsuya, it very is possible that it's not a Ruach Metsuya.
Right, it's like not a physical way.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll see, it's Macholkas Rashi Tosos in a few cases, maybe I should mention them very briefly, whether the to what extent we could view a live actor carrying the takala as Esho of the Bala takala. So let me just point these out. This is what frames the Mahogas Rashi Tosos. So in two sugyas, this is the sugya on Tarnigol Shehizik Vidalil. So this is a case where a person ties a strap to the leg of the tarnigol. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah is a case of a Jiyayade, so the end of the tarnigol is hopping around with the strap attached to it. So Macholkes Rashi and Tosos, who's liable in that case? According to Rashi, only the Bala tarnigol is chayav. So the person who ties the strap to the leg of the tarnigol is patur from any damage that occurs from the tarnigol whipping the strap around and damaging things. That's Rashi's position. So you can see Rashi here says, even in the case of Kishro Adam, when a person ties a lo mishalim alachatzi nezek, bala tarnigol, va'kosher patur, shelo nitkal adam biboro. So Rashi says that the tire is patur gamri, and only the bala tarnigol is tied. That's also the position of the Miri there, and the Rebbe in that sugya. Tosus, you can see, disagrees. Tosus says explicitly that what the Gemara means that in the case of Aduye Adi, where the tarnigol is hopping around, Nami Chayiv Bala Tarnigol. The Bala Tarnigol splits the liability. He's also Chayiv, along with the person who tied the strap. But Tosafot, but then Tosafot points that Rashi disagrees. In the case of the Mishnah, is pointing to Rashi with a kosher is patur. And Tosafot asks, "V'kasha l'pirusha mikamakam l'chayev misham esho? Why don't we hold the person who tied the strap liable under esh?" Rashi here really disagrees. Rashi refuses to view the tarnigol as the ruach for the kosher. Tosos is willing to see that. So Tosos l'shitasa, Tosos on yates is consistent with his analysis on daf lav. In both cases, Tosos thinks that a live animal carrying a takala is considered the isho as well as takala. That's one way of framing what's going on here in Tosos. Tosos thinks that it's consistent to see the Yeah, but in both cases, Tosos is willing to allow either the raglayim or the actions of the tarnigol as the ruach mitzuyah.
Right, well, I think it sounds like a riot, because that case is the guy's tying it to the chicken, so he's like using the chicken actively, as opposed to, like in our case, where it's like totally like each, where like totally like waiting for like both doors passing by.
It's possible.
You're not intentionally like waiting for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
The difference is whether or not someone's like actively like there's an alternative agent, like actively that was like unexpected.
Yeah, it is possible to Michalik, but you see that both, it seems like in both, I'm saying there's a general view that Tosos has a very literal conception as to what's considered to be the Eish of the Bala Takala. Right? So one of our background questions is how to what extent do the actions of the first actor survive interference of the second actor? So it seems like for Tosos, there's a very high threshold. Right? For Tosos, it's very easy for the Eish of the Madlik to survive interference of the second actor. You see that in Tosos on Adye Ade with the Tarnagol on Yutes, and you see it in Tosos in Arsega. Whereas for Rashi on Yutes, Rashi's clearly going to have a more rigorous threshold. Right, for Rashi, it's the moment there's another force helping the Eish or the Takala being propelled, it's no longer Eish of the Rishon. Does everybody see that? Machlokas Rashi and Tosos, how it takes a stand on the persistence of the first Mazik, at least when it comes to Eish? Yeah, Jonah.
Just another thing, like, connects to the Osborne in terms of, like, if you look at the Ruach Mitzuyah, it's like more of a Zeres and Chassid thing. Another facet of Ruach, right, as opposed to another actor, a physical actor, is the fact that wind is ownerless, right? And meaning in that case, we assign liability to you despite the fact that there's an actor, which is, let's say, a dove or an actor, like something that doesn't matter. But when you have a tarnigol, you have a live actor, those people have liability or something tied to them.
Yeah, that's interesting. And so you're saying, so it's, if it's just a question about persistence,
yeah.
You know, does the first action persist, then we wouldn't be machale between owned animals, unowned animals, or raglayim versus behemoth. If what we're really interested is does the liability of the second person take over, then there's a lot to talk about that we'd be machale between these things. I just want to point out that in the Rashi case, Rashi thinks, you'll say in the Rashi case, the tarnigol maybe takes over, the bala tarnigol takes over the liability of the kosher in some sense. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Okay, which one is about persistence?
What?
Well,
on your test about whether Eish, that's a takala that's carried al yudei bal chai, whether that constitutes Eish of the bal takala or not. Okay. That's the first position in to be machai the bal takala for everything. There's a controversial nearby view. This is suggested by the Yamshel Shlomo. Let me just pull it up here. The Yamshel Shlomo is actually on that sugya about duye adiyah. On your test, so Parak Bay is Simin Ches. The Yamshel Shlomo is commenting really though on our sugya, Bar Misgalga Baragle Bnei Adam. And Tosos seems to suggest that actually the reason to hold the Baal HaTakala liable for the Gilgal of the Sheni is really the Torah's Bor, not the Torah's Ish. So he had Tosus's view, but not grounded in Nash, rather grounded in Bor. Now this is a Chiddush in Bor, and Tosus says explicit, and Marshal says explicitly that Avnei here really it can't be Nash. He quotes the idea that it's Nash. The only time you're liable for Aish when something's moving is when it's analogous to the case where you put it on your roof. The Heinrich Shuso. Because then it didn't start off as a board, it started off in your own Rashus. So we have to nail you Betoras Aish, we can't nail you Betoras Bor. But in the other cases, Heinrich Shlichol Rashus Harabin, where the Takala started off in Rashus Harabin, the chol takala borhu. Any takala that starts off in Rosh Hashanah is bor, even if it's in motion. Mishumayim lechayiv, according to the Gemara, mishum bor hamisgalgal, lor mina mishum eisho. Mishum the chol takala Rosh Hashanah borhu. The Gemara Yutes says that the case of Adui Yadye is analogous to the case of bor hamisgalgal Rosh Hashanah. So the Marshal uses that as a raya that bor hamisgalgal is a category of bor, not a euphemism for Aish. So this depends. So in a certain sense, this is just a machlokas about the Hagdara of Bor, whether it's sensible to speak about Bor, the Chi of a Bor, for something that's in motion. So this is really a machlokas Rishonim. In the sugya that's neighboring our sugya, in the machlokas about Ilan Bahakosel Shenaflu, at the case on above in the base. So if the tree that's in your Rishus and you were warned about it and it hits somebody on its way down, so it's Machokas, Tosos is in the book, you can see the Rosh quotes it. Ve'im hiziku b'shas nefila, the tree hits somebody as it's falling down, nestapku b'tosos, and yesh lahem din esho din bor. So Tosos is in the book about this. And I've been hearing the yesh lahem din bor. He actually thinks that this can plausibly constitute a case of bor. You can see why, you can read this piece later to see exactly why he thinks it's bor. But the point is that the Marshal, based off this view in the Rishonim on that bottom of the base, that you could have a moving bor, argues that there's grounds to be machai of the Baal HaTakala, even for the Gilgul of the second actor, Betoras Bor HaMisgalgal. It's like the Kosel V'Ilan Shanah.
Why do you need then for it to be nach at any point? Why do you need that? Why do you need it to ever rest? To be true.
So it could be that this view. So this view in Tosos would not distinguish between nach and lo nach. This view would hold that the Baal HaTakala is always chayiv.
Is it a combo between bor and shor, or just bor on its own? Bor Mitzgalgal, is that because it's a
Bor Mitzgalgal is learned out from Bor and Shor, for sure. But it's still, it's like the Rush we saw earlier, it's a category of Bor still. Right? So this view in Tosos that holds that the Baal HaTakala is fully Chayiv B'Shas Gilgal thinks there's no difference between B'Shas Gilgal and Lachar Shenach. In both cases, the Baal HaTakala is fully liable.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so those are two. So Tosos is explicitly that the Baal HaTakala is fully Chayiv Mitam Eish. There's a variation on this idea that the Baal HaTakala could be chayiv mitam bor. There's a third view in Tosfos. Let me just say Isaac.
It seems cool. I mean, one, the moving bor thing is like interesting, but it seems like more problematic to say that the moving bor can be your responsibility when you weren't the one that moved it.
Even when there's a second, just like there are actors of other people kicking it?
Yeah.
Why is that more problematic than Ish?
Ish does it.
Well, it's the Ruach. So one case, it makes Tosfos has to make the jump between the Ruach kind of human actor. And the second case, Tosfos has to make a jump between stationary and moving with human actors. So you're right that the second one seems like a more of a jump than the first. But I'm not sure that that's necessarily problematic. So the third way, the third view in Tosfos...
But doesn't Aish also apply in the case of the Gamma?
No, so it's not that that's Aish itself. No, that's the case when it's actually burning something with Aish.
No, I'm talking about when the
Chenveni is fire. That's when it's the
Chenveni's fire. No, when the Chenveni's fire, because the animal
So Tosafot L'Shitaso over there says that yes, he could, the chenveni can be chayiv through the gumball that knocked it down. That's Tosafot's view in all these cases that Baal Chaim can carry it. Baal Chaim can have a din of a ruach mitzuya. So that's still Tosafot's position. Okay, the third view within this idea that the Baal HaTakala could be fully chayiv b'shas Gilgal is suggested cryptically by Tosos, rejected, but it's picked up by the other Bali Tosos in the Sugya. You can see Tosos here just rejects it out of hand. But Baal HaTakala, this is when it's Bishas Gilgal, Nami in Lechaibo, Mitam Adam Hamazik. We should not hold it liable, Mitam Adam Hamazik. It's meaning the Baal HaTakala shouldn't be liable with Torah's Adam Hamazik for the Gilgal of the Sheni. Tosos rejects it. But if you look ahead, sorry, I'm skipping down to the Tosafot Rabbeinu Peretz and to the Tosafot Talmud Rabbeinu Tam. It's a little further down in the cover sheet. Here's Tosafot Rabbeinu Peretz. So he says explicitly, so he says, why don't we at least learn the chiv of the Baal HaTakala from the Matzad? So he says, well, the first answer is we know that the chiv of Baal HaTakala is mitam ish, right? Like the first view in Tosos. Then he quotes Mori Omer Dehave Adam HaMazik. So you see the, I don't know if he's quoting Rabbeinu Peretz or Rabbeinu Peretz is quoting his Rebbe. By saying that the reason why the Baal HaTakala should be chayiv in the case of Gilgal is mitam adam hamazik. So obviously that's the most controversial of the views that want to be mechayiv the Baal HaTakala. How could I be chayiv b'toras adam hamazik for Liad's kicking? I put my board down, Liad's kicked it, Liad kicks it. Tosa says, great, that's my ish. Marshal says, great, that's my board. But now the Rabbeinu Peretz wants to say, that's me, that's my Adam HaMazik. So how do you make sense of this? Jonah.
It's a frightening chiddush to say, but something along the lines of that possibly hidden in some mazik and ta'al, there is a facet to a certain extent of the Kabbalah and Wilda Olam.
It's a big chiddush to say that.
That's what I said.
Thank you. Sounds like you're just destroying the distinction between Nizke Adam and Nizke Mo.
Right. I'm a closet.
No, but even the Biskarov is not saying it. Biskarov is saying it's a tzad hashavah for Niske Mamon.
Right.
We don't know that he's saying it's a tzad hashavah for Niske Mamon and Niske, right. Niske Adam. Beer, you wanna?
Yeah, just you could say that it's a chiddush in bor, that when someone creates a bor, it's like a really serious hamazik, so that's going to...
That's like Jonah. That's like Jonah. Jonah was saying it for all...
Yeah, but like, I'm saying adopting my bor is different because of what bor is, where it's not Mamon, it's more of a creation of...
That's like the opposite of the Ramban Din and the Garmi. The Ramban Din and the Garmi says that mitam adam hamazik, there's no svar lachai bor.
Right.
And you're trying to say like dafka bor, there is a svar of adam hamazik.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so I think you and Jonah have the same. I mean, I think it's the same implausibility that we're just destroying the distinction between the categories. In your case, at least with respect to bor.
Right.
Right. Leah.
I mean, it could be a thing specifically in just like obviously in a style case of bor miskalgel. Now, we're not actually dealing with like actually done for, because it's not miskalgel, it's probably not done. So something like Abbas Kino Masal, which is literally a tool, when it's used by a human, it becomes automatic. But when it's left on its own, then it's a bore. So by definition, because of the object that's being used, when there's this human info that being miskalgel, the rabbi Adam, it becomes an extension of the Adam.
But why the Adam Baal HaTakala? Why not the kicker?
Oh, I totally misread it. Oh,
that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush here.
Well, why would we read it?
That's what he's trying to figure out. He's trying. He's saying. He said the first view is that the chiv baal hatakala is mitamation, but the Mori said that's adam hamazik.
Why can't they understand? Why can't the adam hamazik put it as kicking? Why does it?
Because they're trying to explain the tsa'ad that you're chayav for baal hatakala.
I'm saying it's clear that even Mori is trying to explain that. I just assumed it's a brainer just agreeing with the tsa'ad.
Even Tosos had this idea, right? So the standard Tosos that we were reading on Daf Vav said explicitly that you shouldn't say that it's mitam adam hamazik, right?
Yeah, but that's within the special sefer, actually.
What's that?
that is discussing the Girsa change to Rashi, that when you take out Kofa, you should take out Kofa because there's always other Nazik, and the Aish is in Kofa.
No, but even Artosis, he explained that he was a Baal Takala here. A Baal Takala, Nami, Ein Lechai, but we tam Hadma Mazik, El Mishim Lechashiv Keruach Mitzvah, Bahavi Aisho. That parallels what Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz was saying, those two views. One view is that it's a show, and the other view is that it's Adam Mamazik.
I mean, to me, it's not as really it's still the same idea, but because it's something that's like a tool, has been turned into a board, so it replaces it, it still has some sort of relationship with it.
It's a big fetish, though, right?
Yeah.
It's a big fetish. So let me tell you what I think, and Yoni, you want to say?
Well, actually, kind of similar to Liat, just from
okay.
I guess you just have a very wide, expansive view of Adam Mamazik. That as long as there's a human actor involved, you have to be no longer part of the category of Mamona Mazik, but now Adama Mazik.
Okay, good.
You just can't attribute it to the actual person, to the Mikalno, because they're not responsible. So you have to attribute it or to
very good.
The color.
Very good. Yeah, that's the direction that I'm going also. So I'll put it just more formally. So you're right that the Nezek here falls under the description of Adama Mazik, right? Because it was kicked by a person. The question is, who should be liable for that Adam HaMazik? So it shouldn't be the Megalgel, because maybe Ein Darkin Shevin Adam was born in the Drachim. But so it's Adam HaMazik, which gets transferred to the Baal HaTakala. Right? So the Nezek is described under Adam HaMazik. But who's liable for this Adam HaMazik? And the answer is the Baal HaTakala. In more formal terms, so we know there's a category of Mamid. Remember there's Sugya and Dafnin Bav. If I take Isaac's dog and I walk it over to Yakir's house and have it eat from Yakir's property, I'm liable. Because ma'amid behemas chavero, kamas chavero. So it's like the liability transfers from the owner to the actor. So that's from Adam to Niske Mamon. Arguably, what's going on in Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz is something similar for Adam here as well. That it is an act of Adam HaMazik, the kicker kicked it with his koach. But the fault lies with the mamid, the person who like presided over this dangerous thing. And that person is the Baal Takala. The Bircha Shmuel and Simon Gimel has an analogous suggestion for the case on Nun Gimel. The case of the Adam should...
Wait, well, what's the relevance of mamid?
Mamid? What is the case?
No, what's the relevance?
To this case? So mamid is that usually there should be one person who's liable.
Yeah.
So like your dog should be liable because it ate for you should be liable for your dog because it ate from your kirsha shus. But because I presided over that nezek, I walked your dog there, so I'm now liable for the dog's nezek.
As niske mamon.
As niske mamon, correct. The chiddush here would be to bump that up to a category of niske adam, that if I like put you into a position where you become an adam hamazik unbeknownst to you, the liability shifts to me. So it's like building off Yoni's suggestion, right? Yoni's suggestion is that, well, look, it is a case of Adam HaMazik, somebody kicked it, but the Adam HaMazik can't be liable, so we shift the liability of Adam HaMazik from the kicker, from the actor, to the Baal HaTakala, the person who kind of made him the Mazik. Beer, how's that sound?
Sounds good.
Yeah?
I mean, it's a little bit of a that you could be mechanic someone else, Adam HaMazik, if he's like...
Huge kiddush, right? You think that Adam HaMazik is inalienable, right? It's like, you are the Adam HaMazik, you can't translate to somebody else.
Yeah.
If you buy this argument, then it is transferable. But I'll call Tosfos already does 90% of the work in saying that it's transferable. Right? Unless you want to say, like you guys are saying, that you could be an Adam HaMazik without being an Adam HaMazik. Right, so on both your and Jonah's view, you're trying to say you could have a status of Adam HaMazik without there being an Adam HaMazik. It's Bor.
Right.
The value of this interpretation is that we're saying there is an Adam HaMazik. We're just trying to figure out like who's responsible for that Adam HaMazik.
Right.
And so instead of the Megalgel, we say that Adam HaMazik is the Mamid, right? The person who set the conditions. So those are three views within Tosfos to explain how the Baal HaTakala could be Chayiv for everything. Within Tosfos itself, it's clearly Mitameish in the first view. Within a Marshal variation of Tosos, maybe it's a Bor Chiyuv. And there being a Peretz variation, and Tosos' rejected view, it's Adam HaMazik. Right? Maybe with the explanation of Mamil. So, okay, that's the first, that's the Chiyuv, that's how the Baal Takala could be Chayiv for everything. There is another view in the Rishonim, that possibly both of them should be pater.
Wait, you say the Birkat Shmua?
What?
You get
oh, so the Birkat Shmua is a variation on his Mamed idea, not in this context, but he explains the sugya on Nun Gimel Amud Beis, the case of Adam Shedachaf Chaveiro Labor. I think Mara wants to split the liability between the Baal Habor and the Adam Shedachaf. That's Machlokas of Nathan and the Chachamim there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tosas, which we'll talk about more later, says that if the Adam acted Bekavana, then only the Adam is Chayav for everything. Right? And Adam Shedachaf Chaveiro Labor. So, Baruch HaShmuel quotes the Brisker Rav in Siman Gimel as saying that that's because of Mamed. The liability for the Baal Habor transfers to the pusher. So the pusher is not liable only qua Adam HaMazik, but he also becomes liable for the Nezik of the Bor, because he's like the Mamed Al Habor. Right? So there is a Bor that contributed to the Nezik, but the liability for the Bor transfers to the closest nearby human actor, right? The Adam was Mamed Al Habor. That's why in Adam Bekavana we transfer the liability away from the Baal Habor. Same principle of Mamed. So Bruch HaShmuel goes crazy against the Brisker Rav. He doesn't say that it's the Brisker Rav there, but if you look at other Svarim, you see it's the Brisker Rav Svar. I think Rav Shimon Shkop quotes the same Svar from the Brisker Rav. But so I guess the Bruch HaShmuel doesn't want to say who it is because he gets very upset about it. He says the Gemara only has a Svar of Mamed for an Adam standing over a shore. How could he transfer it to an Adam standing over a boar? So Kol Shekein B'Kal V'Chomer, he won't like this extension to an Adam standing over another Adam. Right? Okay. So that's the Bruch HaShmuel and Gimel. So the second view in the Rishonim with respect to the Chiyuv B'Sha'as Gilgal is suggested by the Meiri. He seems to hold that He seems to hold that B'Sha'as Gilgal on the first view on Tosas, I think this is Tosas's view. Tosas B'Das Rashi view. I guess it's really Rashi's view then. Neither party should be held liable. Neither the Baal HaTakala nor the Megalgal.
He's in the Meiri?
Yeah, he's in the Meiri. So, do I know why he says that? So, Gilei Rabbanim Yigarsim Kani Bahadi Dekavasli, that's Rashi's view. Mepneishal Onir Lam Machayev Esam Megalgal Midin Kocho. So you can't hold the Megalgal Chayiv, because Ein Darkim Shem Nehel is born in the Drachim. And we know that same as Tosos. V'yachar Shekin, Pater, Bein HaMegalgal U'Bein Baal HaTakal. HaMegalgal Shehare Adai in Ein Obor, Ad Sheyenuach, U'Baal HaTakal Sheach Zed B'Sha'as HaGilgal Ein Obor. So Baal HaTakal is Pater because B'Sha'as Gilgal is not a Bor, or it's not his Bor. So there are two ways to read this here. It could be that he's saying that against the marshal, that while it's in motion, there can't be a chiyuv bor. The other way of reading it is that, so that's just a chiddush in bor. It can't be a bor while it's moving, so maybe the baal takala can't be held liable. The other way of reading it is that it's eno boro. It's really the bor of the megalgel at that moment. But the Megalgal can't be held liable. Well, you know, that doesn't make sense.
No, the Bor Shell is a Baal Takala.
What?
Baal Takala is the opposite of the Shabbatul and Bor Shell of Baal Takala. No?
Well, the Pada is where he says the Megalgal, Shari, Adain, Eno Bor, Ache, and Nuach.
Yeah, and then the Baal Takala
is the opposite of the Shabbatul. Maybe it's just giving two reasons for the. They're both trying to say that it's not a Bor when it's in motion. So the first thing, I guess, over here he's trying to say, you can't hold the Megalgal liable qua Adam HaMazik, because Ein Darkim Shel Ne'el is born in the Drachim. Why don't we hold the Megalgal liable qua Bor? Oh, because it's not a Bor, Ashi Enuach. Why don't we hold the Baal HaTakal liable qua Bor? Oh, because it's not a Bor, Ashi Enuach. Right?
I thought it is. I find it's for
the Amshal Shlomo, yes. And the Yuri who would disagree with that. So the Meiri then holds that both parties are going to be potter in this case.
It clearly sounds like he's giving two different reasons.
What?
It clearly sounds like he's giving two
reasons. These two things. This one and this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was struggling also. But then he has to say that, oh, it's the boar. So then he's saying it's the boar of the Megalgal.
But it's not a boar.
But that's what we're determined.
No, because it's only not a boar for the person that's kicking it.
That's very lumpish. Let's see if that would solve the reading problem here.
Yeah, clearly it seems to be like the same way.
That's what Miri's got to be saying. See how much you can get out of a Meshuddash Miri? It's like when the gear says no good, there's so much to extract. So let's parse this sentence here. So, Hamgalgal Shoradayin in a Borachi Nuach. So that's against the Marshal. But then Baal Takala Shafze Bishas Hagilgul in a Bor. It's not his Bor. So meaning Baal Takala could be liable for his moving Bor. Right?
Yeah.
But
he can't be his because someone else had it.
But there's another actor. Which like takes away the shame, but the chiyabor. I think that's right. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Because part of.
It's a very good reading. I like that. You see, everybody see what Isaac's saying? It's a very sharp reading of this Miri over here. So he's saying that the Miri agrees with the Marshal in a case where you're the Baal Takala. Baal Takala could be higher for moving forward, right? But the reason why the Baal Takala is not liable here is because there's another actor. Which makes it the boar of the Megalgal. But the boar of the Megalgal is not liable for a boar, because since he's not the owner, he can't be held liable while it's in motion. Right?
Okay. So like ascribing more chiyuv based on being the Baal Takala, that you have like a theory.
Yeah. That's maybe what she tells her, because remember he was machala between the case of your mafkir and when you're not mafkir it.
Right.
So if you have bailos, then you can be liable even after. So that's like consistent with his thinking that, you know, being the violin is going to determine the level of your liability. Yoni and then Ben.
But how could the Megalgal take ownership of the boar such that it's no longer the Baal Takala, but yet it's not a boar?
Yeah, so because he acted on it.
Yeah, so but it's not a boar now for him? Why isn't it a boar for him? Why couldn't you say it's become the boar for him?
Like, why isn't it his Takala now? Why isn't it Baal Takala?
Because
he didn't put it there in the first place.
Can you say that an integral part of creating a boar is the Hanafa? And until there is Hanafa, there is no boar? So, originally, the Baal Takala did the Hanafa.
Yeah, it's good.
So there's a boar. But it was moved around, so it's no longer his boar.
There we go.
So the Baal Takala put it down, and there's a boar.
Right, so it's a boar because he put it down, but then it moves around. It's only his boar, but it's still a boar in reference to the Baal Takala. But the
Megalgal.
In order for it to create a shame boar, it has to be at rest.
Well, that's against the Marshal, so right. Once again, basically goes back to where we were before.
Okay, so you're saying that it needs to have been at rest.
Right.
So it's basically, it's like provisionally the boar of the Megalgal, but it'll only become liable once it stops.
Correct.
That would be the Miri, maybe, which he tells us what he wants to say. This other part that even Lachar Shem Tanuach is the boar of the Megalgal, right? Once it comes to provisional, the point is that, and then there's a second chiddush that a provisional chiyuv for the Megalgal is sufficient to take away the chiyuv b'shas gilgal from Baal Takala.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very good. So I think that's a good way of being the Yashav Isaac's reading from Yoni's Kasha.
Are you still going there to Marshal then? For my conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah, because Marshal does things. A boar is a boar. You want it in motion.
Right.
100%. Yes, very good. So this is we have to spend more time thinking about this Miri. I think that's a really good reading.
Well, it's not really against Marshal, because Marshal wants to hire the first guy as a boar.
No, but the concept of that the boar is in flight is a boar.
But that's Miri is agreeing to that. Miri is just, according to Ben Asenyah, Miri is just requiring that it needs to have been addressed at some point to look responsible for a boar.
In reference to that person.
Right. So, in reference to the person that put it down originally, it is a boar, and that's why the Meiri said in a full row. That's why he has to come onto this logic that it's not his boar now, but someone else is acting on it. But he agrees fundamentally that with respect to that first person, even while it's in motion, it's still a boar.
Yeah.
How is that ever going to happen? Would the first person lose it?
What do you mean? What?
What would a case be? The first guy?
I mean, this is the case where someone put down a boar.
No, what's the case where a boar came in motion?
What's his point? You put it down and a rock and suya blows it around.
I think we have to think more about this, and I think it's a really, really good weekend. We have to think more about this because it's going to become more important even when we talk about what kind of chiyuv could override or take away somebody else's chiyuv. So the fact that I'm misreading the provisional chiyuv bor of the negalgel sufficient to take away the present chiyuv of the Baal HaKala is a huge chiddush, because normally you would think that if there's a second guy who's liable, that takes away the first guy's liability. But here it's like the second guy's provisional future liability is already sufficient to take away the liability of the Baal HaKala. So that's like, it's doubly interesting reading of the Meiri. Okay, should go ahead. Let me just, should I outline the other two views? So should we wrap up all four views, or do you want to stop for... So should we just go for 10 minutes to wrap up, so we don't have to stop in the middle of this? Let's go for 10 more minutes to finish up this outline. I think it'll just be helpful. Are we okay, or... Yeah?
Okay.
Sure,
whatever Jonas says.
Yeah, okay, fine. That's the view that both parties are going to be clutter.
Really, all Jonas' fault anyway for this kind of
thing. Bishas Gilgal. So, the other two views, third view, is to say that the Megalgel should be chayev for everything. Right, the Megalgel should be chayev for everything. This view we have in Tosvos. At least in the case of Adam HaMegalgel. Right, Tosa says that when you have a person who's Megalgel, he's liable, the Megalgel is liable for everything, and the Baal HaKala is totally pater. Right? What? Okay, so it's not clear from this. This is what I wanted to point out. It's not clear to me in Tosos that you need an Adam Bekavana in order to hold the Megalgel fully liable. So initially, and even if you think it's true in Tosus at the end of the day, it's not clear that that's true in Tosus Meir Peretz and Tosus Talmud Meir Tam. So if you look at Tosus' formulation, you'll see firstly that Tosus says over here, so the case on Chav Gimel of the Kelev, the reason why you split liability is because the Kelev's a lot bardeya. So here it seems like Tosfos is saying that he's a bardas. He doesn't say that he acted with kavana.
But that's just to exclude the chiyuv from the other guy. That's just trying, that whole part about the condition, just trying to explain why they're both not chayav.
Well, here Tosfos is saying that the megalgel is chayav akol, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying that for that whole question is all about baal hakol, not
the megalgel is bardeya, and that explains why he's fully liable.
And the other guy is not liable, not why he's.
Right, so where the reason why the Megalgel is fully liable in this case is because it's Bardea. Right?
The whole point of that is that he alone is liable. Not the fact,
you're
not asking why he's liable,
he's
asking why he alone and not the other guy.
Well, let's just put it this way. Why is the Megalgel fully liable? Because he's a Bardea.
No, he's fully liable because it's his Kavana.
Where does he say anything about Kavana?
Well, he said earlier, the reason is because...
That just means he's at fault. That just means he's negligent.
Well, it means that
if
you're noticing what you're doing, means you're actually going to kick it on purpose. And later on, he explains this to Kavana.
Yeah, I don't see.
That whole part of the Bagachela is not about trying to explain why you are fully liable. The point is to explain why the other guy is not liable as well. That's the whole point. There are two questions. One question about why is the Megalgel chayav? Another question, why isn't the Baal HaKala also chayav? So he's addressing why the Baal HaKala is putter in this case, and that's because he's part of, because of Megalgel Bardea.
Yeah, I don't
really
see that. The
other
case
for either
Bardea. I don't really see that. I see that he's saying the reason why the Megalgel is fully liable is because it's a Bardas. What do the rest of you make of this? I mean, Tosus only introduces the Kavana thing later on. So he's worried about, in the case of Shorba Adam Shadachu Labor, that they split liability. Right? So why should they split liability if there's an Adam? Because acting there is Bardas. So there, Tosus introduces, Tarek Lomar, Mari Adam, Lobo Kavana, to keep a name of Kavana, Klau, Chai Malabor, Kimo Adam. But Tosus has to say something like, oh, that's a case where it's an Adam who has no Kavana, or Ainza Kavana, Klau. Not sure what that adds. So then, when Tosfos is worried about the kasha from the Gimel, so Tosfos throws in the distinction of big kavana and shalom big kavana. Right? So if you look at Tosfos Rina Peretz and And Tillis says Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, which I'll just fast forward to for a second. So they don't add that. And they don't say that it has to be the Kavana.
But do they discuss that case?
No, so they don't get to the Kasha from Nim Gimel. But there are other ways of resolving the Kasha from Nim Gimel. So the Tos Talmud Rabbeinu Tam here says, okay. So here it's all about Adam Gufe being Mazik, and then we'll see what his rationale is, but in his characterization he just says that it's Adam Gufe versus, you know, Tosfot Adam Bardas. Here he just appeals to Adam even. Here he throws in a reason. I'll get to this reason in one moment. But he never has this issue with Nun Gimel. He doesn't have a distinction of Bikavana and Shalot Bikavana. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz has the same thing. So... But the emphasis is just on being a bar dea. They don't talk about bikavana and shalav bikavana. What's that?
Is there a very big difference between what you and your family?
Yes.
About whether the sar is just to be like a same
body or it's a pater? I'm remaining agnostic to that issue right now. I don't want to get into the background question of is there a trump in the chiyuv or is there just a persistence in the first actor? Right now I just want to get the shittos down. And I'm pointing out that in Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam, and in the beginning of our Tosfos, it's not about acting bikavana and acting shalom bikavana. It's just about, was the actor an adam who's a bardas versus an animal who's not a bardas? That seems to be the fundamental distinction. So what's the significance of an adam who's a bardas? So there seem to be three brief views in the Rishonim here. Two in the Rishonim, one in the Achronim, just to make sense of Tosfos' distinction. So in the language of Tosfos Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, he says this. V'tayma she'ein lebal habor lishmar boro mi'adam she'yesh bo das, lishmar es gufo, ala mi'behema l'chuda she'ein lehem das. The reason why an Adam HaMigalgel takes all the liability is because it's not reasonable to hold the Baal HaBor liable to protect the boar from a person, from a person's actions. What do you make of that formulation? I mean, we're just trying to figure out what kinds of thing does a Korah Es HaBor have to be on the lookout for? And he has to be on the lookout for like kids maybe and animals, but he doesn't have to be on the lookout for human actors who are mazik through his boar. So it's really about the lack of persistence of the original Mechayiv. When we think about the Mechayiv of the Baal HaBor, this is not one of the things that he has to be Shomer his Bor from. Notice he doesn't say a person acting with intent. He doesn't have to be Shomer his Bor from persons who have the capacity to act with Das. Right? If I have a gun or something, so who do I have to keep my gun locked up from? So I have to keep it locked up from, like, you know, people who could accidentally misuse it. But I don't have a chiyuv to keep it locked up from, like, innocent people who have das not to use it. Right? That can't be attributed to my liability. So that's one view. Yeah, here sounds good. Yeah. So it boils down to the scope of liability of the original actor. The second view is put forth by the Eben Azel. This is also making sense of this Deya and Tosfos. So he's also, he's talking about this short Bohadam Shadach Lulavor. And he just has a nice formulation where it isn't a Chobo Mazik of love. So he says, Kan Mishadachu Adam Bishor Da Al Kulpanim Yesh Kan Adam Hamazik. We have another Mazik. Why is that significant? So he says, Mazik Gufo is Nilma Mipatza Tachas Patza. The Mazik Mamun is just based off Shmiras Gufo Allah. And then he says, if a person, so he wants to draw a distinction here between Adam who acts Shalom Bikavana and a person who acts with Kavana. So, like the two tension within our kosos. And he says, Aval ima adam hu bikavana, if the person acted with intent, imin adin she yishalim ba'al ha-takala. Then it doesn't make sense to hold the ba'al ha-takala liable. Velo mahani ma she pasha legabe ha-shor. It doesn't matter that the ba'al ha-takala was poshea with respect to the shore. The al kolpanim eino ela ba'al ha-takala. The owner of the board is a mere ba'al ha-takala. When we keep on sheish kan mazik, it sounds like he's saying, look, we have an Adam Bekavana, who's a real Mazik. We have Baal HaTakala, who's nothing but Baal HaTakala. In assigning liability between the two, as between the two of them, we always choose the actual Mazik. But it sounds like Rabbi Yisrael Zalman thinks you need Kavana in order to be booked there as a real Mazik. So there's more to talk about in this piece, but it sounds like here, A, like that second view in Tosfos, that it's kavana adam bekavana, which attracts the liability. And the reason is because when we're assigning liability between either a baal takala or an adam hamazik, there's just some reason, he doesn't flesh it out, to assign the liability fully to the adam hamazik. But it's the exact opposite of the Tosfos Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, who said that it's all about what chiyuv shmira do you have on your bor in the first place. For Rabbi Zalman, it's about assigning liability between a Baal Takala versus an Adam Hamazik. And an Adam Hamazik always attracts the liability. There's a neutral formulation, I think, in the Shita Mekubetzes, on Daf Nunam Beis. Here's the Shita. It's a quote from the Ra'ah. He says two things. He says, firstly, so when a person pushes the shore into a pit, and Adam is acting, nistalku maise bal habor legami. The halo pasha klal legabe Adam, shelo yidchaf l'sham. So that sounds like the Tosfos Talmud of Yonatan. A boar owner is not negligent with respect to an intentional human action that occurs later. But then he says, the Adam Zehadoke of Chayyab Bechol, the Kivan de Ben Dasu, Vidaito Vayelahazik. So here he explicitly has the qualification that there is Kavan Lahazik. Vadai Vayamaziko, im lo biborze, biboros achir mo beinen acher. Counterfactually, we could assume, since it was an Adam Bekavana, he would have harmed this guy even without this pit. And if not with this pit, he would have been the pit. So this seems to be in between the Yidam and Azal and Talmud Rabbeinu Tam. Right? The reason why an Adam Bikavana gets all the liabilities because we assume that the boar had nothing to do with the actual damage. It was an instrument that the Adam used, and we just assume that the Adam could have used a different instrument. So you don't even view the boar as being part of the Mazik here. So you see there are three variations on this idea of Tosos. For the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, it's because there's no chiyuv shmira for a baal habor to foresee the damages of an adam hamazik. For the Eben HaAzel, it seems to be like a liability rule that we choose adam hamazik over niskei mamon baal takala. For the Ra, it seems to be that we can make the argument that counterfactually, the adam hamazik would have caused the harm even without this boar. So this boar is not really involved in the nezek. It's very possible that the Ra really reduces to the idea that the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam is getting at. Okay, so let me flesh out the last few views in the next 2 minutes. So until now we've been dealing with Tosfos' shita that the megalgel is chayiv hakol in the case of adam hamazik, and we have two versions of this. And the Talmud Rabbeinu Peres and Rabbeinu Tam, it sounds just the mere fact that Adam is a Bardeya, but we don't require that he act with Kavana. And the end of our Tosos, and certainly within the Avri'ah and within the Evan Azel, you require actual Adam Bekavana to absorb the liability. So there are two other views in the Rishonim. Tosos Rid, quoted in the Shizu Megabetzes on our Gemara on Daf Vav, says that even in a case of a behema, if it's Nizgalga Baragli HaBehema, if the Baal HaBehema is walking with the behema, then the Baal HaBehema is Chayiv HaKol. So it's not just a case of Adam Shemigalgel, but even a behema Shagilgal, if there's an Adam accompanying it, the Baal HaBehema is Chayiv everything. Let me just get that. Shema Duetas. So here it is. Everybody see that? That's this way to be Shema Duetas and above and Aleph. The Meiri, in that same Meiri on Daf Vav that we read, has the in his first view that he quotes. So just quoting the his first commentary on the Gemara there. Go back to the Meiri. So in this first view that he quotes, Mishe Niach Nechshel, he just says, "Hamigalo chayav shu kolcho, bala or pater, hamigalo chayav shu kolcho, ben behema ki balecha chayavin, achar shederach gilgula hizika." It sounds like in this first view that the Meiri is quoting, he thinks that the behema, the bala behema is chayav, just for the mere fact that derech gilgula hizika. So what Tosfos Rid thought, the violin has to accompany the behema in order to be machayev him makol. The Meiri seems to hold here that the mere fact that the behema was in the galgal is a reason to machayev the bala behema everything, presumably even if the violin is not there. Okay, the final view in the Rishonim is to say, not that the bala takala should be chayev everything, not that both parties should be pater, not that the Megalgal should be Chayav HaKol, but that both parties should split the liability. This is the fourth view in how to assign liability B'Shas Gilgal. So Tosos says it's explicitly in a case where it's a behema. Tosos says, where it's a behema, not an Adam, so then we split the liability between the Baal Behema and the Baal Takala. Tosos points to the Sugya on Chaf Gimel, I think it's the Sugya on Chaf Gimel, of the Kelev Shenatal Charara, where the Gemara splits liability between the dog and the oven owner. That's Tosfos' paradigm. What's more interesting is the view of both the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peres and Tosfos Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, and then also the Rashba, that they seem to hold that even in a case of Adam contra Tosfos, we would split the Chiyuv. Let me pull these up very quickly. So here's a Tosfos Talmud Rabbeinu Tam. So even in the case where the Adam was Megalgal, they says, Kolomar im Adam Gilgalo, so then Kokohu, Yisayev Behen HaMegalgal, Vi Oso Shehinia Chatakala, Kimokhen Yisayev, Tishnehen Pashu B'davar. Even in a case where an Adam was Megalgal, since both parties were Poshea, there's fault on both sides, we should split the liability between them. And he quotes that sugya makhela shenata al-chara, and he says, "Ami hachla shubayu kamechayvi amigalga v'amigyat hachala." And the same thing is true in Tosos Rabbeinu Peres, over here. And Chidushei Rashba has a similar idea. Okay, so those are the four shitos that we have in the four views that emerge from the Rishonim with respect to the Chiyuv on Gilgal, and the two views that we saw in the Rishonim on La'achar Shetanuach. Okay? And along the way, we touched on some of the basic issues that we'll discuss in the next Chabura. How persistent is the first person's action? And B, what kinds of second actions does it take to supplant the liability of the first person? So we'll deal explicitly with the background questions on Wednesday. Okay, Shkaya Chabura.